Check, check, check. Can you hear me now? You in the back. Yeah. You in the front. Yeah. All right. For those of you who have not been here in a while, I apologize for the sermon, kind of. It's, look at that title. Okay. Let's just be honest. How many of you have ever talked to a human being? Any of you ever thought it was weird to talk to somebody? I mean, other than perhaps the individual, but we talk to people, right? That's not a big deal. How many of you have ever seen people that talk to their pets? Yeah, okay, I talk to, we come here, go, sit, stay. You know, it's how weird is it that people talk to their pets? It's not that weird, is it? How many of you know people that talk to plants? My daughter talks to her plants. It's a little not normal, right? How many of you have ever met anybody that's talked to dirt and meant it? Okay, are you thinking of the book that we read where the Lopin talks to dirt because he's stuck to it?
No, I was thinking more of you when you're very bad.
Oh, I'm not talking to dirt. You're thanks. Feel that bus? In all reality, we might not find it strange for people to talk to people. I mean, we're built for that. And talking to pets at least, come, go, sit, stay, they can figure that out. But when we start getting into the talking to the plants area, and talking to dirt, that's when I start doing this. And I'm looking for an exit left or an exit right. But guess what I ran into today, this week, as I was in my office studying?
Somebody talking to dirt.
And I sat in my office and I went, okay. So this is what we're going to talk about, talking to dirt today. Isn't that great? And you're thinking, I got up in the morning to do that? Well, wait for the end, okay? I want to start with our key idea here. The key thing that you need to know is that God cares. In fact, God cares more than you or I will ever know. God is a God who is deeply involved with his creation. I mean, we've all heard of Jesus dying on the cross. We've all heard, I want to be honest with you. God's investment in what he has created at times is absolutely staggering. And quite frankly, as I was studying this week, I was a bit amazed. If you've got your Bible, I want you to open it up to the book of Ezekiel. I actually went back and just to see how long we've been in the book of Ezekiel. Does anybody know when we started? Just before Christmas, in November of last year. We might have been in the book of Ezekiel a little bit. Having said that, we won't be in the book of Ezekiel next week. And by we, I mean I'm out of here. I'm going to be gone for a week. And so, just so that you know, somebody else will be up here, and I expect they'll do a better job than I do. But I don't want to hear that when I come back. I want to hear how much you missed me. All right, so hopefully you're in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 35. That's where we should start today. Ezekiel, chapter 35. I do have sermon notes with me today. There we go. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it. And behold, say to it, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against you, and I will make you a desolation and a waste. I will lay your cities waste, and you shall become a desolation, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, I know what you're thinking. You read those couple of verses and you think that God is talking to the people of Mount Seir, to the Edomites. But as you read through that, you will realize that God is actually prophesying against the very mountains of Seir. He's actually talking to the dirt. You read it a couple of times, and as you're reading through the Bible, but when you stop and consider, God is actually talking to the dirt. And listen to what he says. I will lay your cities waste, and you shall become a desolation, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Because you cherished perpetual enmity and gave over the people of Israel to the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, at the time of their final punishment. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord God, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall pursue you, because you did not hate bloodshed. And it just keeps going. Verse 7, I will make Mount Seir a waste and a desolation, and I will cut off from it all who come and go. And I will fill its mountains with slain, on your hills and in your valleys and in your all your ravines, those slain with the sword shall fall. All of chapter 35 is against the mountains of Edom, or Seir, the Edomites. It's actually against the physical mountains. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, really? Really? Would you like me to prove it to you and back it up a little bit more? Turn to chapter 36. Chapter 36, God is for the mountains of Israel. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel. We're talking to more dirt. And say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy said of you, ah, the ancient heights have become our possessions, therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, precisely because they made you desolate and crushed you from all sides, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations, and you became the talk and evil gossip of the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and the hills, the ravines and the valleys, the desolate wastes and the deserted cities, which have become a prey and a derision to the rest of the nations all around. Did you notice that? Let me back up just a little bit and read that again. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and the hills, the ravines and the valleys, the desolate wastes and the deserted cities. He's not talking to the people who live in this area. He's not talking to the people that are scattered throughout the mountains. He is literally talking to dirt. Imagine you're sitting in your office and you know that Sunday is rolling around and you get to preach the Word of God. And the Word of God this week is talk to dirt. Can you imagine how that conversation went in your own head? What in the world am I supposed to do with this? Am I reading this right? Does it really say that God is prophesying about mountains? Surely he's talking about the people. Surely this is some sort of attack on the people and the just what they're doing. No. God is talking about dirt. He is talking to dirt, and he's prophesying against the dirt of the Edomites and for the dirt of the Israelites. Yeah. Turn to chapter 35, verse 5. There's something in there that I want you to notice. In chapter 35, verse 5, look what it says. Because you, who's the you in that? Who's the you that's being talked about? No, not us. The dirt. He's talking to the mountain. And he says, because you cherished perpetual enmity and gave over the people of Israel to the power of the sword. Look, it raises the question, does dirt reflect the desire of the people who dwell therein? Think about this. The Edomites hated the Israelites. And God is accusing the very hills of holding that same attitude. Because you, the mountain, cherished perpetual enmity and gave over the people of Israel to the power of the sword. Does dirt reflect the desires of the people who live on it? Now, if you were sitting in my study this week, you felt great anxiety. You felt a perpetual sense of, really? And then it was like God hit you in the back of the head with a 2x4, and you went, oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Verse 19 through 22. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. This is talking about all of creation, which includes the very dirt you walk on. It's not just talking about us. It's not just talking about our animals. It's not just talking about the plants. It says all of creation. Now, turn back to Genesis. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. When you read Genesis 2:15, you normally think, well, he's pruning trees and he's mowing the grass and he's, you know. There's more to it than that. Turn to chapter 1, verse 28. I want to point something out to you here. If we start in verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of man, he created him, male and female, he created him. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. God gave humanity dominion over the very world upon which we stand. We read that and we keep going and we read about the birds and all this other stuff, and we tend to think of God's in charge of the plants and the animals. But if you stop and you read verse 28, you realize that we have been given authority over the very planet. Not just the birds and the trees and the animals and the fish and the... We've been given authority over the dirt. That has been subjected under our authority. That's why when Adam chose to sin, all of creation fell. That's how come I carry lead bear spray when I walk in the woods. That's how come I am very, very careful about not eating any fungus. Because it's evil. Because creation has fallen. Because it was under our authority. We had the responsibility for it. And we chose poorly. It's really easy to see how the animal kingdom has gone wrong. I mean, what's her name wrote the Mother Nature Red in Tooth and Claw. That's not the way it was created. That's a result of our sin. We see, you know, how difficult it is to keep plants alive and how easy, you know, terrible fruit year this year. Because creation, nature itself, has been subjected to the consequence of our sin. And we tend not to think about it, but the very earth that we walk upon has been corrupted because of our sin. Now, I know, talking to dirt. Maybe this will help you. The very wind and the waves obey when God speaks. You can read it in Luke, right? Jesus and the disciples are going across the lake and they're all freaked out. We're going to drown. How come you're sleeping? Jesus wakes up and says, hey, enough. And they're all, ooh, who's this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Or how about this? Jesus was feeling a bit peckish on his way to Jerusalem one day. And it was on the road, and he goes, oh, look, there's a fig tree. And he goes over to it, and there's no figs on the tree. Do you guys remember that story? And what did Jesus say? Shall no one ever eat from you again. And the very next day, it was withered to the ground. You think, whoa. And then you realize it wasn't even the season for figs. That'd be like the middle of January walking up to an apple tree and going, no apples for me? You're done. That's basically what he did. It wasn't the season of figs. He spoke, and what happened? How about this one? Even the dead obey when Jesus spoke. Right? Jesus has been out doing his thing, teaching and preaching. He's got the disciples with him. Messenger shows up and says, oh, your buddy Lazarus is sick, sick unto death. And Jesus, what did he do? He went running back to fix him, right? No, he took a couple of extra days. I want him not just dead, I want him good and dead. In fact, when he showed up and he said, roll back the stone, they're like, hey, not a good idea, Jesus. He's been in there a while. It might, you know, smell. And what happens? Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead got up and walked. So talking to the dirt is no different than talking to the wind and the waves. Talking to the wind and the waves is no different than talking to plants. No different than talking to the dead. But what about this? He gave us his word that we might know his will. But do we obey? The waves in the sea, the plants growing, even the dead. Well, that's too personal. We'll move on from that one. I don't want to beat people up too much today. I want to talk about the deep, deep compassion of God. Take a look back in Ezekiel chapter 36. I want to show something to you. That as you go home tonight and you read this, as you spend a little bit of time thinking about what we talked about today, I want you to see this. Ezekiel chapter 36, picking it up in verse 4. Remember, the mountains of Edom have allowed the destruction all throughout the mountains of Israel. This is what God says. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and the hills, the ravines and the valleys, the desolate wastes and the deserted cities, which have become a prey and a derision to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my hot jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and utter contempt, that they might make its pasture lands a prey. Therefore prophesy concerning the lands of Israel, and say to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealous wrath, because you have suffered the reproach of nations. Therefore thus says the Lord God, I swear that the nations that are all around you shall themselves suffer reproach. But you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they will soon come home. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply people on you, the whole house of Israel, all of it. The cities shall be inhabited and the waste places rebuilt, and I will multiply on you man and beast, and they shall multiply and be fruitful. And I will cause you to be inhabited as in your former times, and will do more good to you than ever before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will let people walk on you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess you, and you shall be their inheritance, and you shall no longer bereave them of children. What did we just read? What was that? That was God talking to the dirt in a very compassionate and heartfelt way. God was speaking, he said, and he's talking to the very mountains, and he says, look, to the ravines, to those places that have been destroyed and desecrated by war. And he says, look, I understand where you are. I understand. You were created for a purpose. And your purpose was to have people live on you and for them to take care of you and till you and for you to be able to bring forth great food so that they could eat, for you to provide shelter for them so that they would be safe, for you to protect them from harm. But you've been warred upon. You have been beaten down. You have been turned against people. In fact, they say of the land of Israel that you bereave them of their children. But God says, I'm going to change it. The deep compassion of God extends to us as humanity because we are the top of His created order. When He had got done making everything else, He said, let's make man in our image. And so God cares about us. That's not surprising. When you invest and you work and you create something and it's the pinnacle of your creation, you set it on the shelf, you protect it, you don't let the children play with it, right? God doesn't just extend His love and compassion to us. The love and compassion of God goes all the way to the very dirt. It just blows my mind, the depth of compassion. The incredible love of God for all of creation. Honestly, it staggers me. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 12. I've got three more passages I want to look at. In Matthew chapter 12. I mean, we're reading in Ezekiel. And God is acknowledging, it's honestly, it's still hard for me to wrap my mind around it. God acknowledges the struggle of dirt to do what God wants it to do, which is to support and keep and protect and to care for humanity by being a good place for them to not only live, but to grow crops, to keep them from harm. The fact that God would invest that much concern for dirt, how much concern does God give for you? How much love, how much care, how much energy does God pour into you? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles hope. I think this is one of the most compassionate passages. Notice how it starts. Jesus healed everybody that came to him. He was there for people. Not only that, but I love verse 20. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not put out. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I don't know if your passion for serving Jesus burns like a beacon in the night and all around can see the passion with which you love the Lord. I don't know if that's you. I don't know if you're the person hiding in the corner going, yeah, I don't know. I'm not good for God. Just barely. It doesn't matter who you are. God meets you exactly where you're at. His love is perfect for you. Right where you are. He's not going to say, that Pastor James, I got no more use for him. He's not going to say, I wish that person had more vigor. No. Right where you are, God loves and cares for you. Does he want you to be that beacon, that blowtorch of fire that everybody can see forever? Yeah. Of course God wants us to be on fire for him. God wants us to blaze away and just everybody who sees us goes, wow, that person loves the Lord and I want some of that. That's what God wants for us. But if we're the sort of person that we're just barely getting through the day, the cares and worries of this world have so fallen upon us, it's okay. God still loves us. More than dirt. More than dirt. The quote that we read there comes actually from the writings of Isaiah, chapter 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, from prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell them to you. Look, God knows where you're at. He knows the burden you bear. He knows the trials that you've had to walk through. Some of them, your own fault. Let's just be honest. There are times where we've stood up and said, oh, I'm stupid, right? We have caused our own problems in our life, but not every time. There's been plenty of times that we've had to suffer just because we're part of a fallen world, where we've had to endure hardship just because creation has been broken by sin. But God loves us, and He meets us right where we're at. Isaiah 55, 9 through 13. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. My friends, God loves you. If He cared enough about the dirt to send a word of prophecy to Isaiah, if He cared enough about the very mountains that we walk on, how much more does He care about you? You who were created in the image of God. Jesus Christ came. He didn't come to die for the mountains. He didn't come to die for the plants. He didn't die for your pet monkey. He died for us, that our sins would be forgiven. So turn from sin and live in peace with God. And I know there's going to be hard days. And I encourage you to endure the hard things of life, firm in the knowledge that God cares for you ever so much more than the mountains of Israel. Let's pray.